nice to be back, sort of. I'll explain that in a moment. Before I retired, I used to have this recurring dream, most often on a Saturday night. It's from my college days, and in my dream, I'd be walking into calculus class. Just as the TA was handing out a test. And I'd cut the last calc class, so I didn't know it was coming, and I was in no way prepared. Got the picture? I suspect you do. I suspect most of the emotionally healthy folks hearing this know what it's like to have performance anxiety, or maybe a recurring dream that's not a calculus class, but something similar. When you are surprised and unready and apprehensive. If you don't understand that, if that doesn't happen to you, if you don't worry, I both envy and pity you. Envy for the obvious reasons, but I pity people who don't feel anxiety because I suspect they're not really fully alive. They're not connected enough to worry about themselves or anyone else. So I hope just a little anxiety, just enough to keep you paying attention. Because being fully alive means surprises and worry. So yesterday morning, I got an invitation to attend Alexander's baptism. I know Alexander's parents went from when I was here before, and so it's been literally years. Alexander was going to be baptized before COVID hit. So it's been literally years that he's been waiting for this baptism. So I got the invitation, and I need to tell you, there are protocols about former pastors coming back to congregations. I can tell you some of those. Some of the experiences of pastors coming back are horrendously funny. Those of you who are here, let them hear. And if you want to hear some of those funny horror stories, ask Pastor CJ or me. There are tons of them about pastors coming back and meddling. Not welcome. So protocol is that if you're going to go back, as I was invited, you get in touch with the pastor and so they're not surprised. So I emailed Pastor CJ, expected an email later in the day, wasn't thinking much about it until my phone started blowing up. I didn't check it right away. It was just buzzing. I'm retired. What do I worry about? When I finally looked at it and saw the number of calls and the text and the email to call her, I did. And she said, "Of course I'm fine with you coming to the baptism. And while you're at it, how'd you like to do the baptism and lead worship and preach? Because I've got COVID." Did I tell you about my recurring dream of surprises? Anyway, I got this invitation, so the rest continues apace. I expected to be sitting in the back seat. Turns out, I'm up front and there's a test. Not what I expected. So I called her back and there we are. So, here we are, which brings me to today's gospel reading. I cannot begin to imagine how Elizabeth and Mary felt when they got this news, dare I say, test for themselves. Elizabeth had pretty much gotten used to where she was in life, about my age, had her patterns set, and Mary was just busy being a tween or an early teen. The news that Gabriel brought had to be far more scary than a calculus test. the story makes clear. They were alone. Elizabeth intentionally secluded for 5 months, and Mary left her hometown to go be with her cousin, it seems, Elizabeth. They didn't have a great support system. I cannot imagine how scary it was. So now I'd like to shift gears a bit and talk about two people who don't say a word in today's gospel reading. One is Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah. He'd been to seminary, ordained, knew the Bible forwards and backwards, was a leader of the temple. If anyone is expected to be the main character in this part of the narrative, you would have expected it to be Zechariah. He was prepared. Instead, God chose someone who wasn't prepared and gave them the gift and responsibility of changing the world. The other one who doesn't say anything, Mary's husband, Joseph. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, Joseph doesn't say a word ever. It's the one least expected to bring anything of importance to the world who has the major responsibility. One, a priest with all the preparation, the reputation, the credentials to do what important people do, and the other, a day laborer, construction worker, but still more important than his espoused. So I'm going to cut to the chase. It seems to me, and I certainly could be wrong, that the voices we would be expecting to hear from, we don't. And the voices we should be straining to hear aren't the ones we're used to having in our ear. The ones we're used to having at a microphone, or a Twitter account, or with a media consultant, or with cameras on them. The ones we need to hear are the ones in somebody's house, in a small town, with nobody else around. They're the ones who give birth to ideas that change the world and make us uncomfortable, that challenge us, make us question all the assumptions that we've been living with. Jesus did not get in trouble because he was predictable or comfortable, not from making life peaceful for people. He got in trouble for suggesting that those people we never hear about, we ignore, people we marginalize, are the ones who have the closest view, the best perspective on the kingdom of God. The ones we silence because they just don't fit in our culture view. Those are the ones we need to hear. If we're interested in living fully, if anxiously, and truthfully, those are the ones we need to hear if we want to love kindness, do mercy, and walk humbly with our God. If we've learned anything over the last few millennia, or certainly over the last 2 months in Gaza, or the last year plus in Ukraine, we should learn that we're terrible at being ready for God's kingdom, ready for God to test our willingness to do God's will. We're not ready to do the calculus of peace. But here's something too. There is a very good chance that you are going to wake up tomorrow morning with a chance, a choice, and an invitation. An invitation to go to class and learn and to make a difference. that recurring dream I had when I was in college all those years ago, I still remember when that dream started and where I was at that college, and I remember the mission statement of the college I attended. To influence the affairs of the world by sending into society thoughtful and informed men and women dedicated to the Christian life. Mary and Elizabeth were informed women who made a difference because of what they did and how faithful they were. And now we are invited and challenged to make a difference in the world, to influence the world, because the informed voices of women like Mary and Elizabeth lead us, and we get to do that. We get to influence the affairs of the world, and we get to hold each other accountable. We get to do that together with Elizabeth and Mary and Alexander and the whole company of saints. Thanks be to God.